X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you today by TwinSpires Online Sportsbook Racing and Casino. Download the TwinSpires Sportsbook app today, and new users can enjoy 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000 using the promo code FREE1000. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Joining us on the horn right now, he covers the Detroit Lions for The Athletic, our good friend Chris Burke. Chris, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us today. How are you, my man? How's life? How was things?
Yeah, doing all right. Appreciate you having me back. It helps to have cooling off again now for a couple of days. Helps to have the sun out and be able to get outside every once in a while. Makes things a little easier.
It is amazing, isn't it, how just a little bit of weather and a little bit of sunshine, maybe a little bit of heat, it just kind of changes everybody's attitude. Everybody's feeling really good. I like it, man. I'm a huge fan of anything over, 30 degrees. So I'm glad to be here. Glad to have you with us as well as NFL draft season is in full effect. The Lions among many teams, and there's been a lot of whispers, a lot of teams changing positions. We've seen some trades early on. What boat are you in first off when it comes from a lot of these organizations making a lot of moves? It seems like more moves before the actual NFL draft day itself. It feels like a lot of teams are kind of, I don't know if I'd necessarily say showing their hands, but making these deals early and getting decent value out of them across the board. It seems like teams are willing to move prior to draft day.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting to watch. I mean, I think some of it has to do with just sort of how the top of this draft looks like it's going to play out. I mean, we've kind of known for months now that Trevor Lawrence is going to be, probably going to be the number one pick. And the Jets have settled in, kind of set their sights on Zach Wilson for a while. So it's, every time one of those pieces falls into place, it lets you make a move beyond that. Obviously the 49ers one at three has been interesting because we're not entirely, we know it's going to be a quarterback, we think, we just don't know which one. And then the most interesting one to me, really, at least from the Lions perspective, is that Miami move going back up to six, because that seemed pretty clearly designed to get back in front of Detroit. And it sort of changes how you look at those top six picks and what might be available for the Lions and all those sorts of things. So, I think there's still a lot to be decided here, but we have at least kind of a framework for where things might be in a couple of weeks and what Detroit might have available.
Chris, I look at this and I look at all the movement. I look at all the chatter surrounding all of the players, right? Trevor Lawrence, number one across the board and on most big boards. And it's like, well, Urban's there and Justin Fields had a pro day and everybody's throwing in shorts. And I don't know, but it seems like Trevor Lawrence will be the consensus number one overall. And we do this with quarterbacks a lot. Do you feel like at the quarterback position, with the way that Zach Wilson was talked about, Trey Lance has been talked about, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, does it seem like quarterback will be overdrafted to you, or am I way off base by thinking that, hey, all these teams are going to take a quarterback and in 3 years they're going to be doing the same thing all over again?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's one of the it's the toughest position, and obviously, to sort of pin down in the NFL, because I think to some extent it always gets overdrafted, because if you don't have one, that's the one spot where you could sort of talk yourself into drafting, kind of out of desperation as opposed to trying to go best player available. So that's kind of the situation here. You look at it, is Mac Jones the number three or number four or number five player in this class? Probably not even close, frankly. I mean, I'm not sure you'd put him above several of those wide receivers, Kyle Pitts, a couple of the offensive tackles. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the top 15, but, if a team needs a quarterback and they fall in love with that guy, they fall in love with Trey Lance, it's hard to pass on them, and that's why even from the Lions' perspective, you sort of look at it and say, well, is it possible that if Justin Fields gets there at seven, they think he's going to be the guy 5-10 years from now that they might take the leap? I think it is. But it's tough because the odds of all these guys panning out are pretty, pretty low. So it's just sort of trying to figure out, well, how many of these are going to work? And like you said, how many of these teams are going to be talking about when these rookie contracts are up being in the same spot? Because I think history has told us that at least a couple of them probably will be.
Chris, the NFL draft is always, people want to talk about it. They want to hear about it, and they want to go through all of these different scenarios and ideas. And you and your good partner over there at The Athletic, Nick Bumgardner, you guys went through this a little bit and, went over the Lions kind of mock draft scenarios and where they might end up. When you look at this roster, this is one of the reasons I was very happy with the Matthew Stafford trade is the fact that we have a capable quarterback in Jared Goff to play the position while they try to address some other portions of the team. I get a little bit of kickback from listeners saying, well, they need to get a real quarterback. Jared Goff is the answer. And I'm like, well, the guy's won playoff games, and that's the one thing you hold against Matthew Stafford. So I'm just trying to figure out where the goalpost is at, and can I hit the damn thing from here? But when you look at this Lions roster, what to you sticks out the most as like, hey, this is priority number one. This is the position that we need to address the most. Is it linebacker? Is it an edge rusher on the defensive line? Is it at the safety position? Is it somebody to catch the ball? Doesn't matter what their position is, wide receiver, tight end, anybody, just to be out there running routes and being able to, you know, somebody for Jared Goff to throw at.
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually you've obviously got to find some wide receivers that are going to be here long term. I think you need to figure out whether Goff is going to be the answer. And again, maybe they do that in the first round or the second round this year. Maybe they have that guy. But to me, you kind of look at it, and especially knowing the way that Dan Campbell is probably going to want to build this thing, and just the coordinators that they have are probably going to want to build this thing. I mean, I think there are still spots really on both sides of the ball in the trenches where you need to get better. Anthony Lynn, one of the first things he said was we've got to get some more offensive tackle depth. So that's one of the positions you put up there. If it's me, it's defense, kind of, you always talk about building baseball teams like up the middle, pitcher, shortstop, second base, center field. That's kind of the core guys if you're building a roster a lot of the times. And I think that's similar to what you're talking about for the Lions needs. Like, they need to make sure it's not just Michael Brockers at defensive tackle. They need to have some guys in there that can help him and help him get to the passer. They need to have linebackers that can cover. Maybe Jamie Collins and Alex Anzalone can do that. I don't know that those are guys they're locked into forever. And I think the same at safety. Tracy Walker, you hope, is going to be a guy long term. You hope maybe Will Harris develops. Dean Marlowe's a decent guy to cycle in there. But there's a lot of questions on that defense that they still need to figure out, and that really across the board. But I think that's sort of where you start from. I don't know that you start with an off ball linebacker necessarily, but you've got to find some of those answers at some point here in the next draft or two, probably.
A lot of pressure here on Brad Holmes and company, and it's a decision that I'm glad I don't have to make, because, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because
yeah,
we were offered this up by one of our listeners. If Sewell, the tackle there from Oregon, if he's sitting there at number 7, if he drops, it goes quarterback bonanza like a fantasy football draft. When one person takes a tight end, then everybody starts taking tight ends, then you realize, well, everybody took tight ends in the 3rd round. How did that happen? Kind of like that deal. And quarterbacks start falling off the board early, and Sewell kind of drops, but maybe there's a Devontae Smith or a Jalen Waddle that is there. Maybe Jamar Chase is there, or a Kyle Pitts is there. If you have to go through this debate in your mind, Chris Burke, an offensive tackle or tight end, and all of those players are available, who do you like the most for this team?
Well, and that's sort of why I keep cautioning people who are yelling at everyone who suggests Kyle Pitts might be an option. I think that this is a situation where you're just taking the absolute best player on the board, and especially because of the things you laid out there, the way this draft is set up and where the strengths are for those first couple of days, I think it makes a lot of sense where Detroit is in round 1 and round 2. You look at it and say, yeah, they have defensive needs, but you certainly can make a case that the strengths in both those spots are going to be offensive tackle and wide receiver. So do you take Sewell or Rashawn Slater if they're there at 7 and then take a wide receiver in round 2, or do you go vice versa and take Jalen Waddle and then look to offensive tackles, because there's guys who can step in and start in round 2. That doesn't really answer your question. I mean, I think it's tough. I mean, if one of those offensive tackles is there, again, just kind of knowing Dan Campbell from the start has said, look, if we fall in love with a quarterback, we'll take him, but we want to build this thing. We want to have the foundation in place. We need to have those pieces, whether it's offensive line or linebacker or wherever, that we know are going to be guys that we can build this whole thing around. And offensive line usually falls into that category. And those are a couple of elite names that we're talking about there at tackle, maybe guard if you want to push later inside for a year. But I don't know. I'd have a hard time not taking one of those guys if they sort of fall into your lap there. It's tough, though. Like you said, I don't know that there's a bad answer, which is good. I don't know if there's a great answer either.
And it does kind of feel like this draft might be a little bit different just because of the activities that are going to take place in front of the Detroit Lions, Chris. It almost feels like whomever you, if you were picking, you know, 5 through 10 here, it's almost like you can't miss. And I kind of, I feel like eerily comfortable with that. And I don't know if I've ever felt that way going into draft day where it's like, you know, I'm not necessarily going to get caught off guard or be surprised at, like, if Kyle Pitts, which many scribes have been telling the listeners and the readers, look, he is listed as a tight end. This guy's a pass catcher. He's more Jimmy Graham than anything else. So you can play him wherever you'd like to. Just don't get caught up in the label of this guy that can catch the football, has incredible size and measurables that are very, very comparable to a guy like Calvin Johnson. I kind of feel oddly comfortable. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in a great spot. I think that's also part of the trade down conversation too, though. You know, if Justin Fields is there and they don't want to take a quarterback this year, or Trey Lance or Mac Jones or whomever, you know, and they're not enamored with those guys and they want to get out of those spots, I think there probably will be teams at that point, whether it's Denver or, you know, New England, Washington. I doubt they'd trade with Chicago, but Chicago, that would want to come up. And I think that that's part of the conversation too, because there are, like you said, at 7, you're guaranteed to get what looks like an elite player in this class, whether it's Pitts or one of the wide receivers, a tackle. Cornerbacks are up there. I don't know that you'd take another cornerback, but certainly there's some talent there too. But if you go back to 15, you go back to 19, I mean, you start taking one of these big drops, I don't know that you're in quite as sure a range. You know, there's still a lot of talent there, but I think you're kind of crossing your fingers that one or two guys slip through the cracks to you at those spots. So I think that that's part of the conversation too. Do you want the picks? Do you want to go quantity? Or do you want to just take a guy that you think can be here for 10 years and be a starter for you and be a high-level starter? And that's kind of the challenge that the Lions are looking at right now. So I think there's obviously a lot of conversations going on inside that building.
There are conversations that, like I keep saying, I'm lucky that I don't have to have. If there was a trade-back scenario that you would be comfortable with, Chris, what would be maybe the last line? Would it be New England at 15 where you feel maybe the most comfortable with if a team wanted to trade, or would you be willing to dip all the way back into that like high teens or early 20s range?
I mean, I think I think 15 is probably a good line. Even that, I think you're kind of getting into a spot where if you've got two or three guys you really like, you'd be holding your breath a little bit. But I think 15, you still feel pretty comfortable, especially if it's, you know, the fourth or fifth quarterback going off the board that you're trading out of that spot, because that's obviously going to push everyone else down. So I think at 15, you know, you're still getting a chance. I still think there's a chance that maybe Devontae Smith is there. You know, Micah Parsons could be there at 15. So I think you're still in a pretty good spot there. There's a couple other offensive linemen if that's where they're focused. That's a good line in the sand. 19, you know, you'd be getting a big haul for 19. I think we'd be talking about probably another future first-round pick and maybe something on day two. That you'd have to get a pretty big offer to go from 7 to 19. But, again, you know, is it worth that risk if you're getting into the second tier of guys and you're not quite as confident that you're getting, you know, maybe an all-pro level talent there? I don't know. Again, without knowing what their board is, it's tough, but just sort of looking at the landscape of things, I think 19, anything below that would be pretty tricky.
And for our listeners, the reason I just threw out 15 there is because that's where the New England Patriots sit in the draft order at number 15. Of course, you mentioned Denver, who was at 9, maybe Dallas at 10 wanted to dabble. Who knows? But when you said New England and it was like, okay, if Fields is there, then we might have that quarterback discussion. Maybe Bill Belichick wants to go that route. And so that's where I just came up with 15. And, you know, just so people don't think it's just, you know, out of the fly. Chris Burke joining us right now. You can find his work at The Athletic. Find him on Twitter at Chris Burke NFL. Chris, as you go through in trying to put together from a work standpoint, when you are producing your articles for The Athletic, what does your day-to-day look like? Take our listeners kind of inside the minds of someone who is writing, trying to cover this team and cover this draft.
Yeah, this is 2 years in a row now. It's been a little weird because, you know, like everyone else, we're sort of limited in access. So we're, you know, trying to do things from a distance. I mean, these last couple weeks, it's mostly just trying to sort of reset these boards we've been putting together for a couple months, trying to watch and rewatch as many of these prospects as we can, just so, you know, we're ready with whatever they do on draft night. And they're not, every once in a while they kind of sneak someone in on you, but just so we're ready and know as many of these guys as possible. And you know, that's most of it right now, honestly, reading up on guys, reading up on, you know, as much as we can find what coaches are saying about them, what their teammates have said about them, what some of these scouting reports are, whether it's, you know, Dane Brugger does an incredible draft guide for us. But there's a lot of great resources out there that you can read up on players. So, you know, it's sitting in our houses trying to replicate as much of what the Lions are doing as we can, really.
And Dan Campbell and company, I mean, the Lions keep putting out these videos, and I'm trying not to drink the Kool-Aid. I did it really bad last year. I did. I mean, I injected it. I didn't even drink it. I was like, hey, we're going 10-6. Let's go playoffs. You know, I was really excited. And then my balloon popped in week one, but no big deal, right? So I'm trying to be as neutral as possible, but I can't help but every one of these videos that comes out, I fall deeper and deeper into this hole of Dan Campbell is he's the guy that's actually going to turn this around. His kind of grit and grind, blue-collar mentality. I know we say it all the time, but he's actually done it. He gave this speech to the Ford workers that I absolutely loved. They've been taking us a little bit inside the organization, and it seems like from the personalities now that are in the building, the drastic polar change that we've been through now, it just feels different. It feels like this might be successful.
Yeah, I mean, for the fan base, you certainly hope so. And I think a part of that is just because, like you said, with Dan Campbell, with some of these other guys they have on staff, if it does click, people are going to go they're going to go berserk anyway, but especially for this group of guys, because I think they do have a pretty good pulse on what it takes to win in the NFL. Dan Campbell, you know, obviously has a good feel for this city and sort of what this city will rally behind. And that wasn't really the case with the last regime. And so, you know, you kind of look at what it could be like if it happens and how much the fans could really relate to the coaches. I mean, it has a little bit, obviously the teams are at very different positions, but it has a little bit of a Jim Leland feel to me, honestly. Like, it's just that kind of guy who sort of speaks the language of the fans around here. And if it does work, I think it'd be incredible. But, I'm curious to see how it feels in September and October, because I don't know, even if they have a really good draft this year, it's probably going to take a bit to see the results from what they've done this offseason and all these trades. And, you know, the draft picks would be tough to ask rookies to step in and kind of take you to 11-5 next year. So that'll be a big challenge, is to see how people respond to Dan Campbell and the coaching staff and how the players respond to it if things are a little rocky for a bit. But you're right. I mean, I think that there's reason to be excited, at least from the personality change, the culture change, and, you know, without being in that building, just from afar, it feels way, way different than what the previous regime felt like, which obviously is the point.
He is Chris Burke. You can find his work on Twitter at Chris Burke NFL. You can read his work in The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription now, I would highly recommend you do so. Chris, my friend, thank you as always for taking the time to join us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me.